the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
Now, a few minutes ago, we spoke to Dr. Neil Dooley, lecturer of politics at the University of Sussex, about the Brexit bill that was passed last week in the House of Commons and how an amendment to protect EU citizens' rights was rejected by a majority of MPs. Now, one political party that all voted to back the amendment was the SNP, who have been pretty vocal about the freedom of movement of EU citizens since the Brexit result last year. I caught up with Irish-born Dr. Philippa Whitford, who is the party's MP for Central Ayrshire. Now, apologies in advance for the sound quality of this call. Dr. Whitford was in Germany at the time, and there seems to have been some interference on the line, so I do apologise for that. But here's our chat. Joining me on the phone right now is the Scottish National Party MP for Central Ayrshire, Dr. Philippa Whitford. Thanks for joining us, Doctor.
Not at all.
Now, this issue of EU citizens and I suppose even Irish people's rights in the UK, this is closer to your own heart than most, because you actually grew up in Ireland, in Belfast, didn't you?
I did, but also my husband's German, so that makes it even closer to my heart than for many others. And his family, his father was German and his mother was Polish. And during the Second World War, they were kept apart. They weren't allowed to marry. They had a child taken away from them. And she was in a work camp. And my husband used to say he couldn't believe that in one generation he could marry who he liked and live where he liked. And so I actually find it really heartbreaking that we could be getting rid of those rights across Europe.
Yeah, because there seems to have been a lot of progress in the last, 50, 60 years. But now, as you said, quite a lot of that is in doubt. I suppose in your own constituency itself, have you had a lot of EU citizens coming to you with concerns following the Brexit result?
I've certainly had constituents writing to me who are very anxious about it. Obviously, they've now been in limbo for basically over 7.5 months. And some have had difficulties with things like getting a mortgage or progressing a bank loan because their situation is not clear. I've had one constituent who's been in Scotland for 14 years and, due to nervousness around all of this, applied for permanent residency and was turned down because her earnings were not high enough. And that's partly because the current system is not designed to recognise EU nationals.
But I suppose this is the thing, a lot of it is shrouded in mystery, and I suppose we all kind of know that, the laws and the way things work are going to have to be ripped up and started again. This amendment in particular last week that went through with or got rejected even as part of the Brexit bill, would that have given much clarity to the situation, do you feel?
Well, it was to try to at least be saying that the people who were legally settled in the United Kingdom at the time of the referendum would have the right to stay on the same basis as they are currently there. I mean, there are big concerns because if the same system is adopted as applies to the rest of the world, the earning limits are actually quite high and would exclude a lot of nurses and social care workers who are in the United Kingdom and are a crucial part of the NHS. The cost of going through it is about £1,800 per person. And for people who have come from particularly Eastern Europe and may not be earning high wages, it's very expensive to go through the process of applying for permanent residency and then British citizenship. My husband's been a GP in the NHS for 31 years. And his fear is that while hopefully EU nationals will get allowed to stay, it might be that they're excluded from using the NHS and suddenly have to invest in private health insurance. And that's something he would find very distressing.
The thing is, realistically, is that a genuine fear? I guess, again, it keeps coming back to the unknown. But could we see a situation where that does happen, where EU nationals or EU citizens now will be unable to access vital services like the NHS and to live here in Britain?
Well, certainly I think people who have been settled here a long time, I think there will be a solution for that. I just feel it's outrageous that they were not given that comfort literally within days of the referendum. But what has been brought up in debates has been comments like, but we will have to see what rights and benefits they're allowed. And so that's what leaves, you know, particularly the big question mark. And it's whether there would be a preferential system for EU nationals, perhaps a lower income level required, perhaps a lower cost to apply, and a greater access of rights such as the NHS, or whether it will simply be the same scheme that applies to people from the rest of the world, which actually has quite high income limits, particularly if you have dependents, costs a significant amount to apply, and you have to pay about £200 a year minimum to access the NHS. So, you know, it's just not clear exactly what the government are planning to aim for.
Yeah, but I suppose Theresa May and some of her colleagues in government have reassured EU citizens, though, that they are a priority in the negotiations. Do you get the sense that they're leaving it slightly ambiguous, or do you think that she truly does believe that she can negotiate a good deal and retain the citizens' rights as they are?
Well, I think I think that she does see that it's a priority now. I just felt that we could have created a much more positive negotiating atmosphere by reassuring EU nationals living in the UK, of course you can stay. And to be honest, I don't think other EU countries were thinking anything else. And therefore, we would have, you know, very quickly had a positive response. Whereas obviously, EU nationals have been described as our strongest playing card, bargaining chips, etc., which I think has created a lot of negativity. But issues around things like access to healthcare is really important, not just for EU nationals in the UK, but many of the UK pensioners living in the south of Spain and the south of France are only really able to afford to do that because we have healthcare reciprocity across the EU. And it could still be that if that is not sorted out, that you will have people who simply can't afford to stay in the place they have retired to in southern Europe and end up having to come home, even though they technically have the right to stay.
During the debate last week on the amendment, and I just want your own kind of, I suppose, opinion on this, the former Culture Minister, Ed Vasey, said that Tory MPs had received reassurances from the Home Secretary, Amber Rudd, on the status of EU citizens after departure from the EU. He was asked by your own Alex Salmond to publish the letter or place it in the House of Commons library, but the Tory MP admitted he'd made a faux pas and it may have been a personal letter. What would you request the government to do? What would you like to see the government do right now that would kind of back up the fact that they are looking to secure rights for EU citizens and everything will stay the same?
Well, I think the letter was more to bring Tory MPs into line when there was a fear that there might have been a bigger rebellion among their ranks. It certainly is not reassurance that was given to the rest of us in the House. So I think that it's still the case that as soon as Article 50 is triggered, Theresa May should be negotiating this first, and that she should also be realising that health reciprocity or rights and benefits is actually an important part of that. It certainly strikes me that some of these other aspects that the EU has brought us have been overlooked. We use the shorthand of the single market, and that makes it all sound as if it's only about trade. And yet, in actual fact, we have made all sorts of health gains and rights to move and live and study and work anywhere we like in Europe. And so what I would want to know from Theresa May is, do you understand that we need to offer the whole package to EU nationals living in the UK and to ensure that we get that same package for UK nationals who've retired to southern Europe?
Yeah, now, over the past few months, it's become clear that within the Conservative Party and even the Labour Party as well, people's opinions on this matter do differ. But the SNP have been pretty kind of steadfast, really, and pretty united on this front. Do you feel as a party that you are kind of flying the flag for EU citizens in the UK? And do you feel the brunt of that responsibility?
Well, I think part of that is simply reflects the totally different vote that we had in the EU referendum. As you know, Scotland voted 62% to remain. And I think that that reflects the fact that immigrants, regardless of where they're coming from, have been seen as a positive contributor to Scotland and Scottish culture. Our population was drifting down before we started to get significant numbers coming, particularly from Poland and other Eastern European countries. They play a major role, certainly in our public services. And so I think in a general sense, people have seen them as major contributors to our communities, particularly in the country, and also to our public services. So we just didn't have that same negative debate in the run-up to the referendum. So it certainly makes it easier for us as politicians to defend that, because we see going forward, it is absolutely crucial that Scotland would get its own immigration rights, because otherwise our country will gradually depopulate. So what we are arguing for in the Scottish Government's paper, Scotland's Place in Europe, is for a certain amount of immigration powers to be devolved to Holyrood so that we can still have freedom of movement and can still welcome EU nationals to come and live and work in Scotland. They are net contributors both to our economies and our society rather than net takers, which is how they were painted in the referendum debates.
And I suppose on that topic, do you think it's going to be realistic for Scotland to be able to have those powers devolved?
Well, certainly the committee that Nicola Sturgeon set up after the referendum debate of constitutional lawyers and European experts have come up with a way that Scotland could keep a closer connection to Europe and to the single market. And it really comes down to Theresa May actually, number one, reading the document and then giving it serious consideration, because it has been designed as something that, yes, it's a bit complicated to set up, but it is legally and practically workable. Mm. And that's what we would call her to do, to respect how our people have voted in the referendum.
We're actually talking to you at the moment. You're in Germany at this time. What has been your feeling? And finally, this is the final question. Having travelled to Europe over the last few months, the EU's kind of attitude towards Britain, do you feel it has changed in any way?
Well, I think certainly having come over very quickly after the referendum, my impression was that people just simply didn't believe it would happen. Mm. They were shocked at the outcome of the referendum, but there was very much a kind of, no, it'll never happen. Why would Britain want to do this to itself? I think that has changed. I think people see that it is happening. And frankly, it threatens the rest of the EU to such an extent that there is no question that for politicians here, the priority is EU 27 and making sure that there isn't an ongoing unravelling or damage done to the European Union. So while Brexit is really important for them, it wouldn't be the top of their priority list. Things like what Russia's up to, things like the economy, and things like the elections that are going to come across Europe in this year and next year, are, they see a much bigger threat. So, you know, I think they do realise now it's happening. I think they're sad it's happening. I think there's still a lot of head shaking and disbelief. But their priority will be how to protect the EU going forward.
Dr. Philippa Whitford, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Not at all. You're welcome.
That is Dr. Whitford, the SNP MP for Central Ayrshire, who we spoke to yesterday, actually. And again, apologies for the audio quality on the line. Now, I would like to point out this, that we did contact and invite Brighton Kemptown MP Simon Kirby and Lewis MP Maria Caulfield, who both voted against the Brexit Bill amendment to protect EU citizens' rights, to come on the show to get their views. We contacted them last Thursday. We've just literally heard from Mr. Kirby in the last few minutes as that was going out on air live to say that he's unable to do an interview. Now, we'd like to put out an open invite. Our door is always open. If anyone wants to get in touch and come on to talk about their views, we'd love to hear from you.